the winning sound of Network Sports.
Yes, good evening to one and all, and another good evening to you, and welcome to another episode of Mason and Guests, brought to you on Voice of Barbados 92.9. I'm your host for the night again, Dr. Andrew Ford. Of course, Andrew Mason is going to be doing some commentary in a few minutes later on. But remember, we want you to call us at 434-1790, and Mason and Guests wouldn't be possible without our sponsor, ESA Fields White Rum, the best shot of the day.
If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
Yes, so much has happened in cricket internationally and also in the region.
Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
Yes, so much has happened in cricket internationally and also in the region over the last week since we haven't been here. To recap what's happened, Australia versus India, the third test is in a stalemate. Doesn't look like we're going to get a result, but again, Australia in a dominant position, and another century from Steve Smith, who changed his stance and set up about three times over the test series. But that match seems to be heading for a tame draw, and Hazelwood is out with a calf strain again. Australia 445 and India 252 for 9. And that seems like it's ending in a draw with just one day to go. New Zealand beat England by a whopping 423 runs. Mitchell Santner, the man of the match, playing a role with a bat in both innings, 76 and 49, and taking 7 wickets while the England spinner was very ineffective. Williamson, 156, coming back into form, but the England bats failed. But it was pleasant to see Jacob Bethel bat last night. He looked really good until he did a West Indian thing and played at a wide ball and got caught at deep point. But a nice innings, and Southie's last match, a real workhorse for New Zealand. The West Indian women have squared the series, lost the first match by 49 runs. The batting failed in that match, but Deandra Dottin scored 52 off 28 balls and celebrated her IPL elevation. In the match today, West Indies won handily by 26 runs and 9 wickets. Hayley Matthews, the player of the match, with 85 and also 2 for 36. India, only 159 for 9, but West Indies 160 for 1. We saw West Indies complete a 3-0 whitewash of the one-day series, and that was Jangu making 100 on debut. That was quite entertaining and good for us, but unfortunately, we lost the first T20, and we're hoping to make amends for that later. We know what happens when our bowling fails, but we'll talk about that so much later that we don't have to go into any details. Off the field, Chris Dearing has been the newly appointed CEO for CWI. I don't think there's anyone that's more capable of doing that job. Unfortunately, we have Chris with us tonight. Darren Sammy, the coach for all formats from April 2025. And hopefully CWI, I'm sure Chris will be happy to learn about the 10-year partnership with Caribbean Cage that should generate $100 million over the next 10 years. But of course, I have my usual guests, Phil O'Wallace and Basil and George, and the new CEO, Chris Dearing. So I will start the show, and Philip Spooner, I will start the show with Mr. Dearing. Chris, congratulations. I think this is important. I know we've had interactions over time and talked about West Indies cricket. I know that you're passionate about it. Now you're given a chance to channel that passion into making West Indies a stronger nation. Welcome to you. Tell us about your vision. What sort of work do you have to do? But first of all, to really educate our listeners, what's the role of the CEO?
Well, it's the good evening and good evening to everybody. Well, a CEO is, as the name says, it's the chief executive officer in any corporate entity. That's the person who's charged with executing the policy and strategy of the company. So it's the liaison between a board and the executive and the management and staff, and that includes everybody from the janitor to the players to management, you know. So for me, I always find the role of the CEO and companies that have been the CEO, you're the person that is held accountable. You're the force field, the shield for your management team. You take all the blows and allow them to do the work. And so you protect them and you make sure that they feel free to do the work that's needed. And you take the responsibility.
Yeah, so what do you see, Chris, as one of the first things, you know, things you have to do? I'm sure they're prioritized, but, you know, you're coming into a new role. I'm sure you have a handover. It'll take some time to get up to speed, but what are your priorities for the near future?
Dr. Ford, I Jamaica is a track and field country. And one of the things that we learned very early, you don't just jump into a relay and grab the baton and start running. You need smooth baton changes. And there's a team that's there. There are plans that are afoot and underway. And you get in there, understand those plans better before you start to, you know, try and put your imprint on it. I obviously have ideas, but, you know, you have to see what's in the cupboard and how, you know, become acclimatized to, you know, what's taking place in the world of cricket. It's not just West Indies cricket, because, you know, I'll tell you, when I first joined West Indies Cricket Board to set up the commercial operations, I didn't just start to make immediate changes. You had to go out in the world and understand what was taking place in the commercial world of the industry before you implement plans. And I intend to do the same, you know, with West Indies Cricket now. Get to understand the plan, get to know the people. The board members, for instance, are all new, mostly new from when I would have been involved before. And, you know, we have to try and find ways to work together to mobilize the kind of resources that are needed, to mend any fences that, you know, are broken, and see how we can move this cricket product forward.
Okay, well, yeah, that will take some time. And
I recognize before that, yeah, the expectations are very high.
Yes.
And if I didn't remember how important this product is and this institution is to the Caribbean, in the last 24 hours since the announcement was made, the phone calls and messages from everybody, from current prime ministers to past prime ministers to lots of former cricketers, which was probably most gratifying, and just people, top executives around the region who just want to see something positive happening. And so I understand the expectation, and I'm certainly just going to try and do my best.
Yeah, I'm sure you're up for it, Chris. I know that, you know, the finances of the organization and of any organization are important to you, and especially here. We know our limitations. We know our structural difficulties, and you know, I've heard you mention about the way we've produced the product and the cricketers and the challenges ahead. How important is the economic side of West Indies cricket?
Well, to me, it's the number one priority. It's the number one priority. The professional sports revolves around resources, both the commercial level and at the national level. And commercial, I mean, at West Indies level, selling its rights and so on. But at the national level, within Barbados, what's happening with the product life cycle within Barbados, within Jamaica, within Antigua, and so on. And it needs resources constantly being fed into this production line. And resources include the number of kids that are coming into the production line at the early stage, how those kids are developed, nourished, before you can have an expectation of an outcome. So, you know, it's resources that are just needed at every level. You know, one of the most important resources that has been identified is something called pride, national pride. And how do you mobilize that? It's one of the most tangible or intangible resources. How do you mobilize that so that Barbados versus Jamaica Super 50 final, all of Barbados is watching and wanting them to win. And the resources that have been put into the Barbados team is such that the Barbadian cricketers want to produce the best for their country at all times and so on. So it's a holistic approach that you have to take to understand what's happening in the cricket industry on the commercial side in terms of how that is going to impact your economics, but also on the national side, resources that are going into schools and so on. Inputs like nutrition in school programs to make sure that your professional athletes are getting the kind of nutrition from a very early age. Because if you don't address it at an early stage, it's difficult to address it at a later stage.
Yeah, before I let my other colleagues come in, I just want to ask you one last short question. Your mention of pride and the fact that, you know, the cricket is really a franchise set up now. How do you reconcile that need for pride and the franchise system, which is a blend of, you know, cricketers from all over with an emphasis on the country in most cases, but in some cases, no.
Yeah, it's something that, you know, the thought process that went into that obviously had a rationale for its time, and I don't want to critique that because I don't know what the rationale for its time. But I do believe, and I guess maybe it's the traditionalist in me, I do believe there's, you know, something there that we might have lost because the insularity and competitiveness between the islands is can be disruptive at one end. But at another end, it's that competition between our islands, that natural intrinsic rivalry that we have, was also a tremendous fuel. I know Philip took great pleasure in beating Jamaica and being able to fly that national flag and so on. So it's a question of how can we protect that, regenerate that, at the same time making sure that the thought process that went into the existing structure is still relevant, and you don't lose whatever gains that might have been made from that particular structure. So sometimes it's walking between raindrops and just you're trying to make the best of a situation, and we need to see if those things are still relevant or is there another way. A good example is what's taking place with the Olympic Games. You know, cricket has now returned to the Olympic Games, and we need to be thinking not just the next 5 or so years to the Olympics, but the next 20 years, which are four or five Olympic cycles, and what is going to be happening with the sport at the national level that the Olympics might impact. And you know, you can't send, or I don't think it's going to be likely that you're going to be able to send Barbados to the Olympics with non-Barbadian cricketers. So it's how are we going to traverse those kinds of challenges in the future?
Okay, so as our Christmas welcome, after the break, we're going to have Philo and Basil and George and Philip asking you a question. But Mason and Guest is brought to you by ESA Fields White Rum, the best shot of the day.
ESA Fields White Rum. If anybody feels they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify. Just sing this song, tell me bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy! Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
Yeah, that ad makes you thirsty. But Philo, I'll give you a chance to interact with our new CEO.
Good evening, Dr. Ford. Good evening, our esteemed guests. Obviously, we have the new CEO of Cricket West Indies, Chris Dearing, no stranger to us. Congrats and good evening to you, sir. All the very best for the holiday season and obviously moving into the new year. I want to say hello to my friend, Sherlock Hart, my friend here, Carlos, who's recovering quite nicely, and Heaven. Chris, we don't know how long your tenure is going to be for as CEO. I don't know when we don't know when you're going to start. We don't know if you're going to be based in Antigua. These are questions we'd like to know.
It's next year, February. I think. Mm-hmm. So I'm still a guest on Mason and guest as a member of the public. So be kind. I'm quite frankly, you know, Philip, one of the. Yeah, I've been trying to think about why I became attracted again to serve. And Andrew has a lot to do with it. Andrew Mason, yourself, because you guys kept inviting me on and I kept having to talk about cricket. And so eventually you have to put your money where your mouth is. But it's a 3-year contract, which will start next year, February.
Well, congrats. Obviously, there's a lot of talk, Chris. There's a lot of heels a lot of healing in West Indies cricket. Obviously, the former CEO, Johnny Griff, said he's left the organization in good financial standing. And obviously, a man of your acumen, that would be one of your biggest areas to look at is how to maintain that financial structure going forward. And obviously, that West Indies brand that needs to be rejuvenated. If you're modernized, talking and philosophies, I believe that you will have to obviously be the person, as you said, you're the bridge between the board and the staff. But how do you get the board to filter their ideas, not only through the staff, but down through to those territorial boards that need some kind of structure? And how do you see your part as CEO of CWI helping those territorial boards with all that you have to take on board to deal with structuring the programs to align with CWI for us to get that, as you said, that manufacturing wheel turning, to get those young players coming out to be top cricketers? And we can use a Jacob Bethel as an example. How do we get a Jacob Bethel or a Harry Brook into our West Indies setup? Because Jacob started in Barbados, but he was fine-tuned in England. How do we get that kind of manufacturing process going?
Well, as I said, getting the boards and giving them the kind of support and structure that they're going to need to help fulfill whatever mandate we create at West Indies cricket level. It's a fundamental challenge that, you know, we have. And if I'm going to tell you, anybody that tells you, having not worked inside of the organization for 15 years, if I sat in here and told you that I have the solution, you can rest assured that I'd be lying. Because I've seen it with not just with West Indies cricket, I've seen it with every regional organization that I've been involved in. But I've been involved in several major corporate organizations and so on. So it's always a challenge. And the one thing you always have to address is the question of trust. And that trust comes mainly with transparency. One of the things that I obviously have to do is to build relationships with the territorial boards. We all like to bash our sports administrators, and it's par for the course. I always use the example of Jerry Buss with the Chicago Bulls. He built the greatest ever franchise in basketball history with Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, etc. But anytime Jerry Krause walked onto the floor of the Chicago arena, the crowd booed. It's just the nature of sports administration. That is your role to take that, because the people want to love the fans, and they should. That's who should get your adoration. So I have a great appreciation for the volunteers across the Caribbean, football, cricket, and so on, who have, because we don't have professional sports in the Caribbean, in the main, they give up their time for no reward other than the joy of giving to their communities. You know, we know so many, and Philo, I'm sure you know many of them in Barbados who run cricket clubs, who run local tournaments and so on, who are giving up their time. So I empathize tremendously with the cricket associations in our territories. But it's how do we help them bridge the gap now with what we need at a professional level? And of course, if you don't have the resources, you're going to still have to rely tremendously on a volunteer program across the Caribbean. These people are not professional sports administrators in the main that are paid. You know, the person that runs the Westmoreland Cricket Association is a volunteer, a man from the community who wants to see Westmoreland, Jamaica, and the cricketers there have the opportunity. But he's not paid. He's not a full-time professional cricket administrator. England, India, Australia, they have that professional structure because they have all the resources in the world at a domestic level, at a national level, at an international level. So I definitely want to, first of all, really start to build a relationship, knowing that I understand some of the needs and some of the realities that we face. I can't tell you I have the magic wand. I'm just going to go in there, try and be as innovative as possible. The one thing that I do bring to the table is a willingness to explore options, totally without emotion, because the emotion is at the West Indies cricket level. All your emotion has got to be, how do we preserve this beautiful thing called West Indies cricket? And that's my approach.
Okay, thank you. Basil, do you have a question for Mr. Dering?
Yes, wish you all the best, Chris, on your new post. I like what I've been hearing from your ideas and talking and so on. And something you just touched on there, I would like to add on, because we all know that club cricket, the age group cricket, is the foundation of our cricket in the region. And it's in, I like to use the term, it's in ICU at the moment. And that plays a significant role in what we see on the West Indies cricket field today because of that situation. And I've always said that seems to be the elephant in the room that nobody wants to touch, because maybe they feel that they're scared because they don't know what to do. So it keeps deteriorating. Would that be something you would be zoning in as you take your new role come next year?
Well, I certainly intend to look, Basil, at every step along the production pipeline in West Indies cricket. You have to. Mm-hmm. The West Indies, it's CWI have a strategic plan, and they've identified that in that strategic plan.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, identifying the challenge doesn't create a solution. And so we really have to explore every solution that can generate national, what I call those, and I categorize those generically as national resources. Everything that takes place from your national pride, whether it's community pride, school pride, your high schools, your primary schools, all of that, the elements along the production line. And I always give the example of my alma mater, Campion College in Jamaica, that just won the under-16 competition not long ago. So there are a cricketing force within Jamaica. So, when you realize that those under-16 cricketers are practicing in the same torn up nets in the same corner of the school with the same number of old cricket balls, but the same few tired bowlers, maybe 10 minutes of knocking up in the week. No professional sport, no professional athlete. And it's the same way that I would have practiced 50 years ago in those same nets.
Mm-hmm.
No professional sport, no professional athlete is produced in that way anymore. So our production pipeline has by and large remained the same. There have been some tweaks and some improvements, facilities and so on. But by and large, it's the same production pipeline. that exists.
Okay.
And we need to try and modernize that production pipeline within the context of the resources that we have at a national level and at an international level.
Okay, George.
I just want to just follow up quickly. And what you talked about, the volunteers, I just want to just throw this out, that some kind of upskilling so they could understand the task at hand, I think would come along with what we just discussed. Thank you again.
Yes, I'm sure that was the case. George, go quickly. I'm not sure how long Chris
has. Hey, good evening, Dr. Ford.
Go ahead.
Hey, good evening, Dr. Ford. Good evening to the rest of the panel and to all of the listeners around the world. I want to say a quick shout out to my buddy Fitzroy Simon in Leicester, England. Congratulations, Mr. Dering. I wish you tremendous success in your new role as CEO. I'm going to come with some softball questions because you're not in the post as yet. And I've got to advise you to make sure that you get some thick skin, because many guys come into these roles and expect that people are going to be letting them go by without any accountability or any questions or criticism. So I hope your shoulders are broad. Hope your skin is thick. But for tonight, I'm going to give you some underarm throws, all right? You know, we've had many meetings, seminars, conferences about leadership and governance. Are you going to be the guy who will start to look into that? And in terms of strengthening of transparency, accountability, and the governance of our cricket? And one more, how do you plan to engage the former players, legends, and stakeholders to strengthen the cricket in the region?
Well, let me answer or respond first to the comments about having thick skin. This is not my first go around. I know for the next couple of months is a honeymoon period, but I know come February 1, the bouncers come thick and fast. And I expect that. And, you know, if they don't come, it means the Caribbean has lost its passion for this game, which would be a disaster. So I've lost my train of thought, which is a bad early sign.
Engaging the legends, I believe.
Yeah. So that was the second part of the question. Well, what was the first part?
You're having a thick skin.
I was talking about. The other part was we've had many meetings, seminars, conferences about leadership and governance. Still, we are still struggling over for the past 20 years about this. So I'm wondering, what plans do you have to address this in terms of accountability and transparency?
So those buzzwords, in my view, hide or mask the real challenges facing West Indies cricket. And that is not to say that transparency, accountability, and proper governance are not critical in any organization. It is a recognition that even if we had the most perfectly transparent organization with the most perfect governance system, it is not the core issue that faces West Indies cricket, in my opinion. And so it doesn't mean that I'm not going to focus on it and try and bring my own corporate experience and experience of boards and governance and so on. But it is not an easy governance structure to fix. It is not. It is a very unique organization because of the disparate nature of so many individual countries. It's a mini United Nations. And if United Nations has challenges with governance and getting things done, then you can understand why West Indies cricket will have those challenges. So I certainly will pay attention to it, try and contribute to it. But if you ask me if that is the core fundamental issue facing West Indies cricket that I need to devote my entire time with West Indies cricket to, I would totally disagree. It is not. It's not going to, if we have the most perfect governance system, we're still going to have the issues of the resource gap with all major cricketing countries. We're still going to have the same infrastructure issues in the Caribbean that education and health and transportation, all suffer from too. So we there's a job to be done, yes, on governance, and I would try and input and lend my experience there. But there's a bigger picture that needs to be resolved as well. In terms of the former cricketers, look, everybody has a role to play. Yeah, but, you know, you'll appreciate that there are a lot of former cricketers, including Philip.
And George.
Sometimes it is challenging. To sort of find immediate roles for everybody, but everybody must know they play a role. When I was not inside of Cricket West Indies and I was a layman, so to speak, I too had a role, and I would speak and I would write articles and I would, you know, try and make my own contribution. I would give advice and so on. So everybody has a role, whether or not they're officially contracted or whether they're officially engaged. And because this is our product, this is our West Indies cricket. That, you know, I will never tell anybody that cricket is my favorite sport, because that I make a huge distinction between cricket, the sport, and West Indies cricket, the institution, which is a beloved institution and one of my favorite institutions. It's something that helped to shape my entire identity as a Caribbean person for so many years, from childhood, you know, and so many great memories. So I didn't feel like West Indies Cricket Board then or Cricket West Indies now had to engage me formally to know the importance of this institution and that I need to make a contribution. So my door is always open, and the kind of relationship I hope that I've built with many of the former cricketers. You know, one of the relationships I pride myself on, at a time when the West Indies Players Association was led by Dinanath Ramnarayan, and people felt that, he was a very aggressive negotiator, and there was always wars between the West Indies Cricket Board back then and Dinner. But the relationship he and I had was just excellent, to the point where we're really great friends today. And that's because I treated him with respect. In fact, I tried to assist him with negotiations if I felt like, hey, he was maybe heading down the wrong path. And I guess that's the kind of openness and honesty and authenticity that I'm going to have to try and impart on West Indies cricket. And trust the people around me too. Get my team, my colleagues, to play on the same field at the same time with the same strategy and move forward.
Okay. Well, Philip has been around West Indies cricket for a long time until recently. Philip, do you have a question for our news incoming CEO?
Spooner.
Yeah, Spooner.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening, Dr. Ford, as the man in the hot seat this evening. Good evening, Chris. Welcome again, and thanks for your time yesterday, our short discussion, and congrats again on your recent appointment. Good evening, Philo, George, and Basil, and to all the listeners. Chris, you know, during before my time at CWA, when you were World Cup, I sort of followed you everywhere. And I thought it was the journalist who would try to pick your brain on everything, yourself and the late Stephen Alley. And that led then to my time at Cricket West Indies, and that coincided with your departure for Cricket West Indies. And ever since then, we've kept in touch. So I see cricket as primarily entertainment. The game of cricket, I should say, as primarily entertainment. How do you get fans to buy into the entertainment value of cricket? Obviously, as you said, Chris, West Indies cricket is dear to all of us. It's helped to define many of us. Basil, for example, his father, one of the greatest cricketers of West Indies history, Philo and George, played first class cricket. And Chris, yourself, you've contributed significantly. I think cricket is evolving more and more as entertainment. And in recent weeks, I spent a lot of time looking at the entertainment side of professional sport. I spent a lot of time in Miami and New York trying to speak to various persons involved in the sporting industry about the entertainment value of the sport. I think it's something that we miss it's a concept that we miss in the Caribbean. Yeah, we are very passionate about the sport and we want it to do well, and it's the navel string of many of us. But Chris, as an entertainment entity, do you think that that is separate and distinct from the cricket board itself and the cricket structure, or do you see cricket being an entertainment opportunity? Similarly, how CPL has been able to drive their product and create entertainment alongside obviously giving players the opportunity to earn a living?
Well, all sport in its widest sense is entertainment. But don't underestimate the importance of it from a political, a socioeconomic importance of the sport itself. And so whilst we obviously try to maximize or optimize the entertainment aspect of a sport, because that's where the commercial opportunities tend to happen, you can't ignore the sport as a public good. And therefore you have to be responsible with even how you introduce entertainment. I actually, I smile today when I see music and swimming pools and artificial beaches and so on taken for granted. When especially like places like Barbados, when the Barbados was threatening to take out a court injunction when I was trying to introduce the Pakistan there and the swimming pool and so on back in 98. In Jamaica, I got torn apart in the media for grabbing or dragging cricket into the gutter with the mound and all the bringing people like Shaggy and entertainers to sing and so on. So the world has moved on and those things are part and parcel, but we have to find a way to attract people to the sport and retain that attraction. I always use the example of a young lady, and I don't mind calling her name because one day she's going to know that I've used her, but her name was Denise Dumais, a Canadian young lady who came to the mound because her friends were going to this party. She had never even heard of the sport called cricket. She came to the mound with her friends, spent the day. I saw people pointing out what was happening on the field, so she learned the rules, etc. And this was a test match. It wasn't even a T20. By the following day, I heard her arguing with somebody about who should be dropped. And I said to myself, it was an eye-opener for me. I said, listen, because how many times do you have to advertise a Ferrari on TV before you are going to buy it? If you're not in the market for that Ferrari, it doesn't matter how many times you sell it or try and sell it with an ad. Nobody's going to buy it. So it's the same with Test cricket. Or T20 or cricket as a sport. If I'm not interested in this sport, it doesn't matter how many times I promote the fact that there's a match down at Kensington Oval or at Sabina Park. So you have to find ways to make people come out and feel that they've gotten their money's worth. They're entertained, they'll learn the sport, they will start to love the sport. And they're finding it, even in the US. I've been, looking at what's been happening in the US. Obviously, I spent time with Broad County helping them with their T20 World Cup. And youngsters are finding, or the people are finding that youngsters, American kids, not the immigrant children, but the American, they're kids who love baseball. When they start to realize that, hey, I can get to hit this ball all day if I can bat. Versus the one or two times with baseball, it starts to grow as a potential of an outlet for their sporting activities. So Philip, yes, entertainment is critical, and cricket is going to compete with all other forms of entertainment. It's not just other sports, but cricket as a television product competes with everything from movies to, soaps and so on. You have to get the eyeballs and you have to make, therefore, your sport entertaining. One of the reasons, for instance, that we were able to do that watershed deal with Sky back in 98, which was a first for any cricket board to sell directly to a broadcaster like that. One of the things that the Sky deputy CEO said to me, which always struck me, that you know why we pay what we pay for West Indies cricket? It's because it's not just the cricket. When people in England come home 5, 6 o'clock in the evening and it's cold outside and they turn on and see these incredible images from the Caribbean, people dancing in the stands, swimming in the swimming pools, West Indies playing the way they do, the camera cuts to the beach or cuts to the sea, it is just great programming. But cricket is a big part of it. But West Indies have a lot of assets that can make that product far more entertaining.
Okay, great. Well, we're a cricket show, so we're going to continue to talk about cricket. It's been good having you, Chris. You're welcome to stay, but we're going to move on to the nitty-gritty of the cricket itself. Remember, we want you to call at 434-1790, and we're going to move on to the T20 series that's going on and maybe talk a little bit about the 50-over series that had gone before and all sorts of other things in cricket. But Mason and Guest wouldn't be possible without our sponsors and ESA Field White Rum, the best shot of the day. Thank you.
ESA Field White Rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 da. What you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
Well, welcome back to Mason and Guest. Remember, you can call us at 434-1790. And before we go on to talk to the guys, we have our first caller. So can we take our first caller? Yes, caller, welcome to Mason and Guest. Be quick and to the point. Yes, sir, I'm fine.
I am not talking West Indies cricket. I am talking
local
division.
Okay, we're going to do that later. But go on. Uh-huh.
And right now you got three teams that fighting for position.
Yes.
I was hoping all the time these two particular teams, get down to the bottom. What sort of decision the BCA
will make?
The BCA would do. Mm-hmm. Right now you got Empire, Spartan, and UE. But I can tell you the truth. I would like you to go. They come through the back door, and it should go back through the back door. But in prayer and Spartan, I don't know who going in. That, I want to hear what Wallace have to say about these two teams in trouble, Empire and Spartan.
And Wallace can let the cricket play on the field. But let's hear Philo on that.
Okay, thanks. Thank you.
Philo, what would you hope for? We can't hear you, Philo. You're muted.
Shocking, actually. No. You can hear me now, though?
Yes, but yes, we
can you
hear
me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Go ahead, Philo.
Right, Doc. I've been following it very closely. Obviously, at Spartan, I'm a former member, a former player. I'm still a member of Spartan, but it burns me to see where we are at in the standings. And the motion is not something that Spartan will want, neither will Empire. If you look back in the years gone by, those are the two black clubs that stood out. And it's just really amazing how badly they've played in 2024. Now they're fighting themselves to get them out of relegation. I know they haven't been playing at Queen's Park for the 2 days so far because of the construction that is going on around Queen's Park and the rain. And the outfield obviously is not taking water. It's just not, the water's not leaving the outfield.
Well, we may have to get you to put back on your whites,
if no play is possible at the...
We might have to get you to put back on your whites.
No, I'm colours now. I don't feel white.
Okay. Well, we have another caller. We have another caller.
But it's sad.
Okay. Well, we lost a caller. But recently, we lost the first T20 international that was played in St. Vincent. That's one of the biggest crowds we've seen ever, and it was really good to see such a big crowd supporting West Indies cricket. You're on Mason and Guest, caller.
Good night, sir.
Yes, sir.
How are you?
I'm good.
I call in, I want to know something. I heard you, Steve, talk about building a team.
Yes.
How is it going to build a team, a Bremen after a team that got two young men that making runs? Cassie and the other youngster from the Islands making runs and outside watching.
Well, I would hope that at least we should have one change. The batting didn't perform that well. So I know that at least one of those more experienced individuals should make way. Basil, I mean, what do you think is going to happen in terms of, before we talk about the cricket, any changes in the lineup you're seeing for this match starting at 8 o'clock?
I would hope that Carty would come in for Fletcher. Because you pick Carty to see what Carty can do at this level in T20 in the squad, not to have him ride the bench. We know Fletcher's a known quantity. So I was surprised that Carty didn't play from game one, because I think you want to give the guy several chances, you know, to see what he can do at this level. So that's the change. That's the only change I would make for tonight's game.
Okay, caller. So what else do you have to say, caller?
Don't call me. I got another point to make. Yes. I got a man I would drop tonight.
Yeah.
I think cricket should play with common sense. You suggest Chase is got his mindset at the back to that inning. And sure, he make a stroke that will put his straight real cricket. If I did the captain, I don't want to see tonight.
The reverse sweep, the dreaded reverse sweep. Well, that does happen.
Cricket is common sense, and not.
Maybe that was premeditated.
He premeditated the wrong time.
Maybe he had an intuition that would have set him off well. What about, I see Lewis in the squad. I'm not sure. You talked about Carty. I don't know. Philo, what do you think regarding any changes in the batting lineup, considering we lost three wickets in the power play?
But Doc, I was surprised actually to see Fletcher keeping wicket, because Puran, I thought Puran was our designated T20 keeper. He's done it against England, and he's done it in many series with Thorpe in the side. So I was surprised to see Fletcher taking the gloves and Puran not play, and Puran fielded out. And I thought that they would have maybe if even Carty and looking, because for in the CP, and he was having some good scores for TKR. So I don't understand. You see, Doc, there's one selector. And nobody is hearing from the one selector.
You'll be hearing more from him as
I'm sorry that Chris Darin is gone, because I want to ask
you'll be hearing from him more as the all formats selector / coach.
But I might not hear from him at all. I might not hear from him at all. So you don't know what he's thinking and what he's doing, because you brought Fletcher in, but you don't know how much cricket he's been playing in Sri Lanka. But you had guys who were in the region who were scoring. You got Justin Graves and you got Carty. But yeah, you've gone for Fletcher. You know, I don't like it. I don't like the one selector thing. Cricket West Indies will have to address that, Doc.
It is
just strange.
It's not going anywhere soon, Philo.
You would expect.
It's not going to change.
But you would expect one of the two, either Graves. That it could change, you know, Doc. It could change. Don't ever say it can't change.
I didn't say it would never change. I just said with a guy taking up a post next year in April, I would think that something catastrophic would have to happen to him for him not to take up the post. But George, you saw the first T20, I believe. And what do you think about what happened in that match?
Well, I'm in agreement with Baz that we should have played Carty, or should play Carty tonight, and leave out Fletcher, because we have Johnson. He can keep. Johnson Charles is a wicketkeeper, and also a Puran. They're wicketkeepers. So why send for Fletcher all the way from Sri Lanka to bring him to the Caribbean, and we've got many players around available? So that was a weird decision. I don't know what caused them to make that decision. I don't know if Charles has gotten some sort of finger injury or Puran. I'm not sure at all, but that was crazy.
Maybe they wanted experience.
I'm hoping that the batters would bat.
Go ahead. Maybe they wanted someone with experience. Keep going, though. That was just true.
I don't know.
Apologize for that interjection. Go ahead.
No problem. The early loss of wickets put pressure on the middle order. We didn't really need to be rushing like if we're in a hurry and we're on appointments. Puran came in and played that type of shot. I was very disappointed about the shot he played. I always said that if we keep wickets intact for the first 10 overs, even though we have to get 150, we have the players, we got the power to get those runs. We have to learn to play common sense cricket. And we didn't bat with common sense because I thought that 147 would have been an easy task, but we threw it away. I must commend the captain, Rovman Powell. He batted with some common sense. I'm very happy with the way he's been playing for the last several games. I did criticize him a few months ago. So I'm glad to say that I'm happy with his performance now. So he can stay as captain.
Oh, great, great. We seem to have a caller. Caller, you're on Mason and Guest.
Yes, good evening, Dr. Ford, and to your panel. If Mr. Darren is still there, I'd like to congratulate him on his new post. And I wish him all the best in his new endeavor, you know, as he go forward. You know, he's into some high waters now, traveling. Now, my main concern, fellow alluded to it just now, if I heard correctly, that Darren Sammy now is going to be in charge of both red ball and white ball. To me, I think that is the most damaging and outrageous and outlandish thing that would have been happening now to West Indies cricket. Reasoning why, in the legal fraternity, and you go to the CCJ? Supreme Court, you just get three judges.
Mm-hmm.
CCJ, you got about five or six judges. There's no way that one person should be having all of this thing to be selecting, coaching and selecting the players. And I think that these boards in the West Indies, there are about 12 or 14 teams that players are being, that are playing and vying for positions in the West Indies team. And these boards who vote and have two directors on the panel should allow and bring a motion to the director and the president of West Indies Cricket, allowing them to understand that no less than three persons should be selecting the players, no one man. We are not in that position. Australia don't do it. England and those people don't do it. They're going to one selector. Why we are having one person to be doing, want to do such? It is not right. And I am saying the board, these directors should move a motion and turn that around to have three. It doesn't matter for me, where these selectors come from, but they should have no less than three people selecting the players to play. And it's a better chance because you can see victimization stepping in there for a one person. That, to me, one person creates, to me, a dictator type of situation.
Philip Spooner, you're well traveled and you've seen many versions of this. What do you think about what Akala is talking about?
I think this is for me to leave alone. I think that started on leg and is heading towards the second slip. That's obviously a.
No, that's going to hand, not the second slip.
That one is beyond you, Philip. I will.
I would expect. I would relieve you.
I will not address it. I mean,
we could get a concussion substitute if necessary.
It's being looked at, it's being examined, and it's something that they're trying to implement. It's a deviation from the practice norm, I guess. Philo George and Basil would tell me since 1928 when we played our first match, we've always had a group of selectors, not just one. What I can tell you is a lot of work. It's a hell of a lot of work to coach a team and now to coach all three formats and then to be the one selector. Darren has his work cut out, I can tell you that. He's going to need a lot of help. I mean, he's going to have to attend media events and media obligations on tour and stuff like that. What I would say in relation to Darren and the way he set up his team, I would like to see him create more visibility for the captains. I find, and based on my experience, that he is still being seen as the face of the teams. And if it was one thing that I did when I was media manager, when Darren was the captain, we ensured that Darren was the face of the team as the captain. And he was a very good face of the team. And he grew and he improved and he won the World Cup twice and he became this unifying figure in the Caribbean. I mean, people love that in Sammy.
Well, I guess maybe you should take some responsibility for being the face of the team. Thank you, caller. We always appreciate hearing from you. And
I always found one thing that I always found with Darren is there was a tremendous love for him by older women. There was a demographic in West Indies cricket, older women, most of them over the age of 50, that absolutely adored Darren Sammy.
A fascinating
and that
fact.
He's continued. That has continued. And you know, he's thing. But I would like to see him present the opportunity for the captains to become the face of the team. Because if you look at the way the teams are, Ravman Powell isn't really visible, is he? You don't really see him. He doesn't dominate any space. He's not in your face. As Chris Darren was saying earlier, cricket is a unifying force. People want to be entertained. People want to see their players. I don't think they necessarily want to see their coaches and their presidents.
Interesting.
I would like to see Shea Hope and will emerge more as more visible so that when people see the West Indies team, it becomes Shea's team and Rovman's team. Right now, they're Darren's team.
Well, it's interesting because Rovman isn't the most charismatic character or the most, you know,
When Sammy first started, he was quite timid. He was a reserved individual, very he wasn't a first pick. I mean, the face of the team at that time was Chris and Bravo, and they were dominant figures. They were larger than life figures in the dressing room, and they dominated world cricket. The IPL had just started, and they were blossoming and blooming. But Sammy found his niche. He found his area by virtue of performance and leadership.
Yes.
And he emerged as the captain of West Indies cricket, and it's his legacy. His legacy is his ability to unify and his absolutely brilliant charismatic character traits that you know, people adore him. So I think have that discussion with his captains and allow them to grow into what he grew into.
Okay, fantastic. We have another caller. Welcome to Mason and Guest.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Good evening.
Thanks for the opportunity to interact with you all. Like the previous caller, I would say all format coach in this era of West Indies cricket is madness. Particularly where we are just, it was a couple more days ago in December, but in 3 years' time from next year, we'll be celebrating our centenary of Test cricket. Is it that we are appointing a coach to hasten our demise out of Test cricket? Because when you watch where we ranked in all formats now, I think that Mr. Kohli has been given a raw deal. I mean, I'm saying that if you're holding him on until April, to me, it's madness. Because what would happen? You would have the new 4-day season going to start. You will have the new T20 competition going to start soon. And then when is Mr. Sammy, as the all-format coach, going to have any time at all to look over all the teams, all the players, to choose from all the teams he would need to choose final 15s for? Because he'll be choosing 3 sets of final 15s for all the formats. That is 45 players to pick. And then you have to look at the pool of players to pick from. So I'm thinking Mr. Dearing is a good appointment, but to have the gentleman go to all 3 formats is madness now if we want to do anything to move from where we are in the seller positions in all formats right now. That's just my take, gentlemen.
Okay,
thanks for
the
opportunity.
Thank you. Basil, we haven't heard from you. I mean, we started out talking about the T20 match and we segued into this discussion about, you know, the all formats coach. But so I leave you to decide what you're going to talk about here. There's so much to talk about.
I just want to add on to what the caller just said. I agree with the caller. I know Spoons did a shoulder and arms in terms of the selection system they're putting up in place. But a question I would ask, and I would like to hear Philo, yourself, Doc, and George's, and even Philip. Do we trust our chairman of selectors in each of the territories to be a true arbiter in terms of the talent ID person for the respective territory? Because I know, being in the chat with a lot of you guys from Barbados, I hear y'all cussing y'all chairman left, right, and center, right? So this is these, and I can assure you, similarly happens in every territory. And these are the people that are going to be the, so again, the question was asked about retribution and vindiction and all of that. And a question, I am very disappointed with the reporters yesterday. Why no one asked, what is the situation with Kyle Myers? What has happened to him? Has he been banished to the Siberia of cricket? We could bring in an old guy like Fletcher, and we got Kyle Myers. What is the situation? We have not heard a peep regarding that. And that is a question Mrs. Sammy has to answer.
Yeah, definitely. But I guess Mr. Sammy is quite busy because before you come in, Philip, I mean, Mr. Sammy should be quite busy because I think there was a time when Philo was worried about his certification and other things, and now he has all this work to do. I mean, he is going to be a guy burning the midnight oil. He's going to be studying. He's going to be picking teams, and he's going to be coaching. I mean, you know, how many hours do we have in a day for just one guy to do all these things? He needs a lot of support, Philip.
Yeah, most definitely. Basil's point is very well made. And the points previously that the caller, the caller was excellent. He presented his case very clearly, and he articulated very well. I myself have I asked a question yesterday about Andre Coley. I asked, will he be incorporated in West Indies cricket? Will he be kept? Because of all the coaches that I've worked with in my time at West Indies, Andre Coley is the best organized. He's very thorough, very efficient. He gets the best out of people. He understands man. I'm not saying he's the best coach I've ever worked with, because then that'll be me now going out on a limb and getting way past my thing. I'm not a cricketer, I am more of an administrator. But Andre Coley is extremely well organized, and he brings a lot to the table. I wouldn't be thrilled if Andre Coley was lost to West Indies cricket. I mean, he has the quality. He could be picked up by another country. He could be picked up in the franchise world, and on we go. But I think, and obviously he was judged on the performances of the team. The team didn't do as well as we thought. We are bottom of the World Test Championship, and he's paid the price for that. That's a clear impression that we've been given. But Andre Coley should not be lost to West Indies cricket, because he is an asset. And I hope that he stays in West Indies cricket, because he brings, as I said, a lot to the table. He has a very good relationship with Craig Brathwaite. Some people would say that Craig is the way the team plays. The team is a mirror of the captain. The captain is a dodgy player who is expressive, and that's the reason why Test team is the way it is. But the win in Australia for me is Andre's legacy.
Well, I don't think dodgy was the word you wanted to use there. But Andre.
Well, Andre's legacy is the win in Australia, and for that he should be proud. He took an under-strength team to Australia, and he rolled them over at the Gabba, something that we've not done. We couldn't win a test match in Australia if he paid us.
Yeah.
And he took a team down there and he pulled them away. And it clearly was well planned and well executed. So I hope that he stays in West Indies cricket. But to the other point about workload and stuff like that, as I said, Sammy has a lot of work. I mean, and coaching the team and being the selector also includes calling up everybody when they get picked and when they get dropped. That's his job. But the thing with the scouts now, if the chairman is selecting each territory is a scout, that's an interesting development, because then if I'm picking teams, I want to see my players make the West Indies team. And I'm going to recommend all the time that my boys are the best suited candidate for a player. So that's an interesting thing. But we recently saw Blades get a look in. Youngster, very few people in Barbados even know him. He's come out of the blue, literally and figuratively. And many people were saying, maybe what happened to Dominic Drake? The same way you were asking Basil about where's Kyle Myers. People were saying, but where's Dominic Drake? He had a decent go of it in the Super Super Barbados. He's got some experience. He's a known quantity. And we got Blaze in ahead of Drake. I would obviously have gone for Drake based on the conversation I'm having. And you look at the T20 team to play tonight, obviously Fletcher being flown back from Sri Lanka to play these three matches and keep wicket. That's an interesting situation. Look at what people do. I mean, when Warner used to, you know, play T20 cricket, they said he'd never make a run in a test match. Warner played 100 test matches, didn't he? So, I mean, just like how you mean Jayant Root can keep wicket and he can think. He got 100 in the T20. He had momentum. He's confident. He was dominant. It's with 50. Just get him in. Just get him and give him a go and let's see what he has. I mean, I thought that was an easy one. I was really surprised that they brought back Fletcher.
Yeah, that was a strange one.
Yeah. Even before Jayant Root gets in, you've got Graves and you've got Kiarty ahead of them. So you would think that one or two of them should have played the other night. So we hope that they play tonight. But bringing back Fletcher was a strange one.
But when you look at it, though, I mean, I can understand Andre Cooley. Maybe they thought the performance of the team was somehow, you know, in his domain. He was responsible for that. But when you think about what Sammy has done, the 50-over team hasn't really flourished. I mean, we're still behind Bangladesh in that. But I guess maybe bringing the team from fourth to seventh in the T20 is his calling card and what has driven him to fame. But, I mean, I don't think anyone would ask Brendan McCullum to be a coach and to pick every team. It's something that you'd expect a genius to do. And I don't think that it's fair to put this on Darren. Basin and Guess is brought to you by ESA Fields White Rum, the best shot of the day.
ESA Fields White Rum. If anybody feels they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify. Sing this song, tell me bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want.
Yeah, welcome back to Mason and Guests, and we'll take this call and then we'll look at what possible team can be. Well, we don't have to take that call. So, I mean, we've had a look at the coaching, but guys, let's get back to this T20 match here, the bowling. You know, Alzari wasn't bad. Chase was economical, and of course we have our early specialists with the ball. But you know, what do you think about the bowling, Philo or George?
If George wanted to dig it, but I just think the bowlers have. See, they don't play a lot of cricket. How much cricket has McCoy played or have been playing? Shepherd has been in the 50 over series. How much cricket? But he played that 50 over series. But when you look at it, we seem to be foreign to the conditions at home. Akil Hussain again, you know, it's enigma. Chase bowled one over, yeah, four overs for 29 runs. But again, even our bowlers don't string enough consistent balls together. This line of lefts and the T20 cricket. I believe he looked to be hard at the top and making roads in batting. And I don't find it. You know, Akil Hussain continues to open the bowling. He bowled four overs and took two for 13. But then when you want him in the middle, he's already bowled at the top.
Yeah.
So he doesn't help.
That fascinates me. There's no other bowler in T20 cricket that just bowls in one position and never bowls anywhere else. I mean, I know his ranking would suggest he is.
All the pressure falls on Moti.
Yeah. And Moti used to be a joke
in the team when Badger used to do it. They used to say, "Well, bowl your four overs and go home."
Yes, but I think this is a tunnel vision. This is a tunnel vision approach. I mean, and he has taken over that role that Badger has had. But I do not see why we can't be more flexible. If indeed he is good enough to bowl in the first four overs.
Now is the time to experiment.
Yes.
You're building towards the World Cup. You're looking at options. You're looking at possibilities. You're looking at who does what when things happen. I mean, every match isn't going to be 140. You can get some games when the queue can take you for 240. And you got to look at all your options and see where do we go from here when this happens. And and things like that. So you've got to try to experiment. And that's why I think they should have actually opened the pool a little bit wider for this series and get some more people in. Because we failed to qualify for the semifinals of the World Cup that we hosted in 2024. And that's we will be remembered for that. We didn't make the final cut. So you've got to get more people in and experiment. You've got the CPL that is showcasing some talent and things. Get more people in and get more people playing. I mean, this whole thing about we must win this and we must do that and we must climb here and we must stay there. And then when we get to the big show, we don't deliver. We haven't delivered in the T20 World Cup in the last three cycles.
Man, you didn't have to bring that up. That's a real bummer at Christmas. We do have a caller here. Welcome to Mason and Guest.
Hello, good night.
Good night.
Yeah, happy season's greetings to everyone there.
Yes, and to you too, sir.
Yeah, I would like to congratulate you. As soon as women, the one today, convincingly, that was a good performance.
Yeah, fantastic performance. What do you, other than congratulating them, do you have any other insight into that wonderful result?
Well, Haley Matthews played well. The young lady that opened with her, the left-hander, she played pretty well before she got out. And then Campbell continued his good job, along with Matthews. So the 1-9 wickets, that was a tremendous performance. He's keeping the series level at 1-1 now. So he wanted to keep up the good work and to win that series.
Yeah, definitely. I didn't get to see lots of women's cricket, but watching Joseph, she's a pretty powerful and talented cricketer. I guess, George, did you get to see any of the women's cricket?
No, yeah, I didn't get to see any of the women's cricket. I was busy at work today.
Yes,
but
you
got to
make
about,
a living, George. You got to make
Haley
a living.
Haley doing very well.
Yeah.
They got to make a living, man. Yeah, I'm not rich like Philo and Baz, you see?
Definitely. Call her.
But I'm very happy for the ladies.
Yeah, call her, let you wind up. Anything else you wanted to say?
Yeah, I thought the men would pull the hat together, you know, and perform better.
Yeah, we want to see 160 for one. Thanks for calling, Mason and Guest. We have another caller.
Cricket.
Yes, sir. You're on Mason and Guest.
Good night.
Good night.
Okay, good night. First, I want to start to say it is highly, I don't know what to call it, because of Fletcher. We're looking towards a new World Cup. There are so many young players here. They cannot continue to go back. The things I can do no more. Gordon Greenwich ain't with a double century or century. You're going to go back for Gordon Greenwich now? No. Another thing. You see Perrin, that shot Perrin played tonight? Last
match. Yeah, he walked past the
Perrin
ball.
Perrin
got stumped. Right.
Perrin would have never done that in the IPL. You see Perrin, you see Hitmeyer, and you see that crew? This was, for me, this would be them last tour. If they cannot deliver, you have to let this go. Let those guys go and play the money cricket. These guys never deliver for the West Indies, and I think they're looking at, I could be wrong, but I think looking at the West Indies as a joke. They will never do what Perrin did the other night. He will never do. On no franchise, nowhere around the world, he would not get another player. It is time that the West Indies put these guys to sit down and tell them, listen to me. When you put on these colors, you're going to deliver. It is best you go towards the youngsters and build for the future. All those guys got to go, and they're going for Fletcher. I don't know what to say about that at all. I words can't describe what caused that to happen.
Okay.
There are too many young guys. There are too much talent to continue this. Another thing, to give Darren Sammy that position. Darren Sammy is not Gary Sobers. He's not Greenwich. He is not Lara. He doesn't have the capacity to guide three teams. You need to pick three teams to stop the foolishness. I live in Canada, right? And I'm going to say something to you guys now. I live in Canada, and I was among some big guys sitting down. Year for the last couple of years, and they were planning what they could do to help West Indies cricket. You know what the guys turn and say? If I win 10 lottos, I would not put a cent in West Indies cricket till they get it right and start to let the right people lead it.
Okay,
thank you.
Thank you, caller. I mean, I don't want to look at the motives of the players. I think that, yes, they haven't delivered for us as you would expect, considering what they do at the IPL and maybe the Big Bash, but it could be that international cricket is a bit more difficult than the IPL, even though you get five bowlers rather than IPL, where you may get three and a half bowlers, or in other places where you may get even less. So maybe it's just a harder cricket. But Philo, we saw the batting in this last T20, and we hope that it will be better. Someone mentioned the women, and we saw the women struggle in the first match, and they batted well in the second match. In T20 cricket, batting is really important in every version of cricket, even Test cricket. What do you think we have to do to get consistency among our batsmen? I know it's a game and the bowlers are trying their best. As a former batsman, what do you think would help us to be consistent?
Well, Doctor, let me start. Let me congratulate the women, actually. And again, Hayley Matthews leading from the front. And once she contributes to the bat, more often than not, the women will win. And that continue through the game. And to beat England by such a big margin is good. Doc, when you look at a batter, you're looking at consistency. The batter has to stay focused. The batter has to be fit. And the batter has to come into a series with some kind of form. If you don't have any form before a series, you cannot catch form in a series. It's going to be very, very difficult. Because the modern day cricket is set up now, and the way they practice, Doc, you don't really have a lot of time to maneuver. So everything you have to do before you actually get into that series. And again, as I keep saying, the surfaces are good surfaces, and I don't know why our players, particularly our batters, don't show a bit more patience. Get themselves in, and then they can look for the big shots. Our players, to me, our batters look to go big too hard, and when they get out, they let us continue to go hard. Nobody seems to have that know-how or maybe instructions to still settle, let's build an innings, let's start to build a partnership. It's just go, go, go all the time. And if you keep going, you're going to struggle. If you look at the test match that just played between New Zealand and England, Kay Williamson got 150, you know. He don't go all the time, but he showed application. I know it's T20 cricket, but application is still needed across all formats. And I think that when you're looking at our T20 squad, we need to tell one of the top three batters they have to bat down to the 15th over. It is important. Our captain is batting very low. I believe he batted higher, but he batted low. We got 60. So if you can get him beating one of our top batters in, 147 should never be a problem. But again, it's how we construct our innings and the plans that they have. Our batting coach is Roy Reaver. Our head coach is Darren Sammy. I don't know if James Franklin, our bowling coach, is in St. Vincent and the Grenadines. But those are the think tanks, along with the manager, Roy Lewis. Those are the think tanks. And the analysts, so you have to sit down and strategize how your top three batters in T20 cricket are going to approach the batting so that you can then have a platform in which the power hitters can come in. And I keep saying, though, I don't think Puran is a good number three. Yeah. I don't think he's a good number three for T20 cricket. He doesn't show that application.
He's a finisher. Philip, I know you're big on women's cricket. I know that you believe Matthews is the most articulate. But that's a bias, and you know we want equality, Philip. But anyway, but anyway, Hayley is articulate. Hayley is going great guns, and you have Dot in there.
Hayley is number one advert in West Indies cricket. Hayley
for Prime Minister or for President?
Future Senator. No, but on a serious note, as I said, I tend to watch more women's sport than men's sport, especially tennis, obviously, and stuff like that, because women's sport provides you with more artistry. Men's sport across the world has grown into strength. Mm-hmm. Strength and the ability, strong, or the more ability you tend to dominate nowadays, you know. If you look at the Premier League, who has the most goals? He's the strongest player up in City. You know, he just pushes you off the ball, gets the ball and shoots the ball. The artistry of men's sports seems to have gone out the window. When you look at men's cricket, it's all about hitting over the top, hitting down the ground, and hitting out the ground. Women's sport, they're not as strong. They have to show more artistry. They have to show more, in many ways, more skill. And I can tell you something, if it's one area of sport where I believe women outdo men, it's wicketkeeping. The best wicketkeepers in the world are women, not men. Check it out. Watch it carefully and you can see. But on Hayley Matthews, I was on this program and I said a couple months ago that Hayley Matthews is the best advert for women's cricket, and she will soon become the face of West Indies cricket because of the way she has evolved. And people thought I was mad. they said that's crazy, you're talking foolishness. But Haley, but name a West Indies men's player right now who demonstrates more of what it is to be a West Indies player than Haley Matthews. There's none. She takes the team, she leads the team. She's very articulate on and off the field. She does the job expertly, and she just keeps winning games for us, and she keeps putting us on the map and keeping us on the map. And I publicly again want to say that Haley continues to be an ambassador for the game, and I'm absolutely delighted with her success. I'm very happy for Dotton again that she's come back and done the job. And I expect the West Indies to win the third match. I expect them to beat India in the series, and that would be a huge, huge boost for them. You know, going forward, because they're still under pressure to qualify for the World Cup. They're still going to be under a bit of pressure to qualify, so they got to keep the momentum going. And as we said, we discussed it already, Basil and George, there are gaps in the team to be filled, mm-hmm. and we have looked at possible replacements and identified, because I mean, Claxton made her debut today. And this is not an anti-Claxton stance, but she's never done anything in cricket. Let's be honest. I mean, mm-hmm. her head score for the Windward Islands is 17, and her best bowling figures is 2 for 31. That's for the Windward Islands. Mm-hmm. She played today. They couldn't bowl her. Well, they didn't bowl her, and she didn't bat. Mm-hmm. So she's still struggling to find out what is her skill set and what is her primary role in the team. Mm-hmm. But she's in the team, so she will be called upon very soon to do something. And hopefully it isn't to get 6 off 1 ball and we lose and then we crucify her. Mm-hmm. Because that would be unfair. But she's an absolute unknown. I believe probably when she turned by the airport, some of the other girls said, who's that girl over there? Mm-hmm. You know, just trying to be facetious, of course. But we need to get more from some of the other players. But it's good to see Haley continue to dominate. Dotton is doing Dotton things. And, you know, and the other players seem to be catching wind of this whole thing, and they're pushing. And the women's team, from what I believe, from what I see, is growing. And I like the growth, but I want them to qualify automatically for the World Cup, because these qualification things in West Indies tend to get very tricky.
Hmm. Well, the question is, are we... I'll let you come in shortly, Basil. But, I mean, the question is, are we really too dependent on Matthews and Dotton and Joseph, just like in the men's team, he might be dependent on just a few top players. Well, go on, Basil, and then we'll come back to you.
Joseph is still remains she's still an unknown quantity around the world. So right now she's catching teams by surprise. And one thing I must say, she hits the ball hard, yeah. She very hard. She has a lot of power to both sides of the field. But I think this Indian team is ripe for the picking. The bowling unit of the Indian team, not impressed with with the bowlers that they have in this team. And if Dotton and Matthews perform as they usually do, I think India will lose this series, because if we have to chase and anything around that total that they had up there today, India's bowling is not going to stop us.
Mm. Yeah, Philip, I stopped you. What were you going to say?
Well, and in line with what happened, and the pitches are good. The pitches are India, and but Joseph has been a masterstroke. I mean, she in the World Cup there were question marks. Where Taylor would bat, and how Joseph would fit in, because Joseph's primary skill before the World Cup was as a left-arm spinner.
Mm-hmm.
Into the squad, she's dropped some weight, and her fitness looks up, and she's not breathing as heavily up on the field as she used to. So you can see there's a conscious effort to get fitter and leaner, and obviously that is being translated into some performances. So putting her to bat at the top when they were scrambling at one point is a master stroke, and that eliminated then having Dotton that have to come too high, so Dotton could drift in a little bit, and then on and on and on we go, we get some of the others in. So kudos to the coach for seeing that skill set in Joseph and getting her in and boosting her up with the confidence to go there and do the job. And she doesn't only do the job, she does some damage. I can
tell. The squad for the match that starts in 21 minutes, Brandon King, Johnson Charles, Nicholas Puran, Andre Fletcher, Robin Powell, Romara Shepherd, Chase, Hussain, Moti, Joseph, and McCoy. Well, you guys can weep. But I think we are going to segue quickly into local cricket. Stephen Leslie is here. Stephen, we're coming down to crunch time. Just a few more matches left. Give us a perspective, an overview of what's happening and what the possibilities are for in our local cricket scene.
Hi, good night, Dr. Ford, and good night to everyone. This is actually the few days just before the final day of the season, which is on the 21st of December. And a unique position, I mean, Philo and Philip and others who've played local cricket here, the fact that there are four teams that can be demoted. We've got a team like the UWA who are on 66 points. Empire, yes, the Empire Club, 67. Spartan, 68. Gladiola, 68. And if it rains, gentlemen, on this final day, it means that the university team will be the team that automatically goes out in terms of demotion. So we've had some really competitive cricket. But if you do get play, Spartan, for example, will be begging for play at the Queen's Park Ground because they did lost their last 2 days, which would have been last weekend. So right now, there are a lot of individuals in the university camp, Empire, Spartan, and Gladiola, who are very worried. And may you look at the tradition of these clubs, Empire and Spartan, coming as probably the third or fourth clubs in Barbados after the Wanderers and the Pickwick clubs. So a lot of worried souls. I want to congratulate publicly the Wanderers Club, who won the championship after some 42 years, their last chance. They were back in 1982, I believe. So they were able to win. Craig Braffitt, who always plays once he's on the island, he captained that side to that victory. But Ian Boyce was their substantive captain. And Ricky Clark, who's done a tremendous job at that club for many years. And I believe not just as a coach, but he was also, I believe, part of that 1982 team that won back the Wanderers. But a lot of worried persons, gentlemen, University of West Indies, Empire, Spartan, Gladiola, all in the demotion zone with just 1 day to play. Mm-hmm.
Stephen, why so much bunching of the points? Is this just, some sort of statistical thing? And, you know, what's the weatherman saying about this last series?
Well, I take the people who are thinking about the weatherman are those four clubs. But in terms of the bunching, it's as a result of a lot of teams having, not really played and get a lot of batting points. I think Philo says this a lot when he's talking about any type of cricket. I mean, a lot of our batting, you get four batting points in Barbados' cricket when you make 300 runs, and a lot of teams don't do that consistently. You do get four bowling points when you get 9 out of the 10 wickets, and that is what is normally achieved. So a lot of this bunching, Dr. Ford, is as a result of a lot of teams not getting a lot of batting points. There are as well one or two instances this season where, for example, Empire had an unfortunate incident where they did not present a new ball and they forfeited the game. And that really placed them as defending champions in this very precarious position. So overall, I think that there are a lot of people who will be watching the weather. And the fact remains that one of the big guns are likely to go. But equally, though, Doc, is the fact that if you end up with a tie, any two teams or more at the bottom of the spectrum, there's a rule that everybody needs to be aware of, that if they're tied at the bottom, you have the higher number of outright wins that will make a team distinguished from the other. And the final rule is that the team that accumulates the higher net runs per wicket ratio. So all the clubs need to be aware of this. So those spectators and supporters of Spartan and Gladiola, Empire and UE, they have to be aware that that will be the tiebreaker in the event that teams are on the same points at the bottom.
Okay, Philo, I think I may have interrupted you, but that sounds pretty complicated. Well, I hope the statisticians are working on it. I have a point here, though. Make your point, then.
I have a point here, though. I am a Spartan member, of course. I've been a Spartan member since 1990, when my late brother led the club to the
double. I hope this isn't an appeal.
So I know what it is like.
A point or an appeal?
Oh, no, I know what it's like to win. I played with Philo at Spartan, much to my detriment. Philo was a rather tough teammate. So I, like other Sparta, people are very nervous. I was at Queen's Park on Sunday, and we nervously tried to mop up the field to get some player, but it wasn't possible. We ended up watching football and being hosted by Dwayne.
But it's very bad in the park.
There is no, we as Sparta members are a little bit nervous, but we believe that we have a team that can get us out of this hole and that we can come back very strong next year and push for the title again. Because if it's one thing with Sparta that we are known for, is that we push for the title. We don't play middle table cricket and relegation cricket. Sparta is always up there in the top, in the front, looking to go and win every cup. So there's some unease and some nervousness, but the fellas are very confident that they can do the damage on Saturday coming and get out of this relegation battle and kick on for next year. I mean, Empire and Spartan, two of the most storied clubs in the country. I mean, Empire produced 20 something test cricketers. We produced 19. I mean, we are driving force in cricket. We are not just a club. We are an institution. Hmm. And
are you saying you are, or are you are you saying you were?
I mean, this is 138, 31 years of history, doc.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Sparta.
And now it's come to this. You may need some helicopters or, you know, some sandbags, lots of sponge, you know. Maybe a dome.
What we really would need, because we're the only team that didn't play over the weekend. That's the unfortunate thing. What would be best for us is if everybody play that we play, or if it comes down to that and nobody plays and it all gets washed out and we have a Merry Christmas. But Spartan is strong. When Spartan cricket is strong, Barbados cricket is strong. And when Barbados cricket is strong, West Indies cricket is strong.
Sounds like a few sleepless nights left for you guys. But Mason and Guess is brought to you by ASA Field White Rum, the best shot of the day.
ESA feel white rum. If anybody feel they could drink with me, let them come. Open your mouth, drink it up, or you can't qualify to sing this song. Tell me, bartender, ESA is the best shot of the day. Boy, pa 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 da 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 pa 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 da da. Say what you want, ESA is the best shot of the day. Is the best shot of the day.
Yes, welcome to Mason and Guest. Just 14 minutes left, and I think Philo had something to say. You're making an appeal for Spartan, or you're just making another point?
No, not really making an appeal, Doc. What needs to be learned here is that when you have teams to beat, you need to beat them, and you need to understand the rules. I think the playing conditions are a little complicated for some of the clubs, and that is something that the BCA needs to address. I don't believe in demotion and promotion, Doc. I don't. Spartan and Empire are demoted from elite cricket in Barbados, that's a serious detriment on Barbados cricket. And I think that's something the BCA needs to discuss. What is the purpose of promotion and demotion? What is the purpose of gaining batting points at 300 runs when clubs hardly get 225? I want to congratulate Wonders for winning the elite division. Congratulations to the club. And obviously, Ricky Clark has been there for years. And it just goes to show hard work, preparation, and dedication and commitment can bring you success. But I mean, to look at the way how the cricket shots here in Barbados is, it needs changing. There needs to be discussion among the BCA, top brass, and the clubs to get our cricket back on track. We made some valid points, and those points should be recognized. It is not a joke having Spartan and Empire out of elite cricket.
Yeah, it would be catastrophic for sure. And you may lose some players.
And it's something that...
You may lose some players.
Have you ever had a flat tire?
Have you
ever had a flat tire?
Yeah, but luckily I have a
system. It makes you sad. Demotion makes you sad. Yeah, but demotion makes you sad.
I know. But Philo, just to bring some contrast to it, let's say when you played cricket at the same level, how did you determine? There was no promotion and demotion, but how did you determine who won in the long run? Was it just wins and losses?
Doc, you had yes, wins and losses. If you want to get
always,
eight
it
points,
was always who came second to Spartan, innit? It was always
I'm just talking about the points. How were the points done?
And you get points for first for in lead, and three for first innings. And if you draw, you get one if there's no first innings lead. If you let a side and draw the game, you get 4 points. Yeah. If you win outright, you got 8 points. Quite easy. Mm-hmm. But we're going with batting and bowling points, and we've confused on for cricketers.
Okay.
I think one thing this year is interesting. Webb is here second, and I don't think they won a game.
Hmm.
I speak somebody to correction.
Well, that's a statistical conundrum. Stephen, the statistics and the strategy. Cricket has become much more strategic now than it was before. I mean, people have to determine when's the best time to declare, when's the best time, you know, the emphasis is on wickets, but then it comes down to declarations and that sort of thing. So do you think this strategy is making cricket better? And I'll get you answer that. But George, we haven't heard you for a while. You had your hand up just now? Or are you stretching?
Yes, I'm not trying to get in Barbados cricket affairs, but I've been wondering for the past several years, what has happened to Barbados fast bowlers? Where are they? All major and fast bowlers, they're either too fat. They're just there putting it there on the spot. No speed whatsoever.
No body shaming, George.
Oh, well, I'm sorry. Well, put it this way. They put on a lot of muscles. A lot of muscles. But I do not see anybody bowling fast in Barbados. We had the promise of young Simmons. Looked promising and then he went out of favor. What happened there, guys?
George, the other challenge we have in Barbados too is Milorda Batsman, you know. I did some research. Since Simon Nurse, we haven't produced a Milorda Batsman who's played 50 tests.
Interesting. Stephen, has it become a bit too difficult? Is there too much strategy now for the cricketer, the modern day cricketer, compared to cricketer in Philo's time? Stephen?
Well, interestingly enough, when Philo and Philip and most of us played first division cricket, it was very simple. And I mean, you had lots of batsmen who would get over 500 runs, you know, bowlers would take over 50 wickets. But since the promotion, demotion, and the batting and bowling points, I think it was implemented back in 2008, we've had a lot of teams who were able to strategize. I can tell you, for example, there was a university team that was dominant for maybe the first 5 or 6 years of that cycle and won everything because it was, you know, you had batsmen who could get you to 300. And similarly, you know, you knew when to declare. But I've found, just as Philo have said, that it has really caused some persons not to adjust as well as they could. And it's something that has been muted, you know, over a few years now of what is really the reason for promotion and relegation. So I think it's something that for all cricket lovers that it could be discussed. I mean, the board of directors have made it clear that it is a system that we at the BCA have kept for the last few years. But it is not that we're not open to discussion. And I think one of the key things is to get batsmen and bowlers who can really get into first class and list day cricket and franchise cricket for that matter and really express themselves well. So does this promotion and relegation do it? And the main question that Philo really asked earlier, what I mean, if a person gets demoted, I mean, they're going to be sleepless nights. If a fella gets demoted, I think the only three teams since 2008 will be UWE, Spartan, and Empire, who have not been demoted. And I know that when Pickwick got demoted, I know they came back up. There were other clubs who got demoted. A lot of these players sometimes leave the club, or those who are committed stay at the club, and they're very worried that they're playing at a lower level. So we got to really examine all the different factors, and I agree with Philo and the others on that, for sure.
Okay, Basil, you've just been looking on. What's the system in Guyana? Do you have promotion, demotion? Are you keeping track?
They don't have promotion, demotion, because we just simply got first division. A club may have a first division team and a second division team, and so on and so forth. But I went to watch a game, two games when I was in Barbados in July. The same Wanderers was playing Empire, and I would note Empire got several Barbados first class cricketers and West Indies players. So you demote Empire, you want these guys to be playing in a lower division. That's where the conundrum comes. And as Sir Leslie pointed out there, guys may want to leave the club because they're gonna be like, wait, I can't be playing at the lower division because I'm a Barbados player or a West Indies player. So That's an issue that is very interesting. How you guys will handle that?
Yeah, yeah, definitely. You can have a dismantle of a team. There's no transfer portal like in college football, but you know, some people may come, some people may go. But you know, it is something to consider. Yeah, Philip, you were saying something.
It was drawing my attention that 1 year Carlton won and didn't win a match. Carlton won the cup and didn't win a match.
On pure strategy, I think they. Mm-hmm. Must be mathematicians or statisticians.
Yeah, it's Garry Kasparov playing cricket now and so. But
some play checkers, right? Yeah, but I mean, you would like that the method, and this goes back to the regional methods. You would like that the winner in the long run is, you know, the team that wins the most and has been the most dominant. So I guess it would be interesting for an audit to be done and for that to be assessed. Is the winner the most dominant team? Have they done better in all three sides of the game?
Here you have a situation. That's the important thing. We're at the end of the season when we're supposed to be celebrating the winners, and we're having a full-on discussion about the people that are going to be relegated. So it goes to show it's an inverted pyramid. Right, because so you're supposed to be saying after 42 years, Wanderers have no longer the top, and they should be celebrated with all the bells and whistles. But we're more concerned about his partner, Emperor, gonna survive, and what is that?
It's the pedigree of those who are not in peril. But guys, you know,
but Wanderers were demoted as well. But Craig stuck with them. You know, Craig has stuck with that club even in demotion.
Yeah, Craig, Jason,
you know, Dwayne Smith. I stuck with his club as well, the NPC. Yeah. Some guys do stay with the clubs. Yeah. I help them to rebuild and get themselves back up. Yeah. But how loyal are some of the others? We don't know. But you should have the season is one day from finishing. If the Lord grace us with some beautiful water from the sky that calls rain and flood the country out.
I mean, we just can't win. Either we have. Spartan, or we have Empire, or we have our academic elite being relegated. I mean, this is a catastrophic combination of things here. But guys, we are getting towards the end of the show. There are only like 4 minutes left. So I'll give each of you a chance. Oh, I'm told there are 3 minutes left. So this is sad. But anyway, I'll give everyone a 40 seconds to talk about maybe what they expect for the T20 tournament. Philo, who's going to win? Are we going to beat Bangladesh?
Well, Bangladesh are one up. We have to come back to win two straight. And I hope that they do have the resources and tools and the think tanks. Mm-hmm. Get us over the line for 2-1 victory.
Okay, George, what's going to happen?
Well, I can't say what's going to happen, but I'm hoping that the guys play some common sense cricket tonight. Apply themselves accordingly. The bowlers try to bowl with discipline, bowl at one side of the wicket. Look to bowl the Yorkers. We're not doing that enough. And the batters need to stay in and build a good, solid foundation, especially the upper half of the batting.
Yeah, Basil.
Wishing them all the best. Hopefully we can get a 2-1 victory.
I want to see we don't be losing all those wickets in the power play. That has been an Achilles heel, so I want to see some improvement in that area. And I hope Mr. Puran has his head on straight and bat sensibly today.
Philip, what's your wish?
I'm very happy to see what is happening in India with the girls. Very happy for Haley. I expect the West Indies to win in India, and I expect them to win in St. Vincent. But one thing that I'm really happy about, the crowds in St. Vincent, it's an absolute delight to see people in St. Vincent come out and support the West Indies team. Full house on Sunday, another full house tonight. And obviously, they're going to come out again on Thursday. So, well done, St. Vincent.
Yeah, thank you, Stephen, for coming. We had Chris Deering and our usual panel, Philo and George and Basil. And we talked about the T20 series. We had a look at all the international cricket. It's been another wonderful show of Mason and guests. And we'll have Andrew Mason back again. I don't know if he'll be back for Christmas, but thanks for listening. And you know, enjoy your night.